We'll go ahead and get started on the practical part, other than one more small section of preaching here. The reason why this made it into the practical part is because the number one practical about a life of prayer is to make it regular and consistent and frequent. Because the whole purpose of a life of prayer is the maintaining of the fire in our hearts. And if you go for long stretches without it, it becomes miserable trying to pray the next time you start. Consistency is what makes prayer have life on it. The longer you go and let that fire die out, the harder it is to engage with the Lord the next time you come to the place of prayer. So I'm really mixing my metaphors badly now, but I want to talk about the fire on the altar and the importance of prayer in that. God sends the fire on the altar, but he expects the priests to keep it going. And we see that in Leviticus. When they build the tabernacle and they offer the first sacrifice in Leviticus 9, it says, fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. And then the Lord charges the priest in Leviticus 6, the fire shall always be burning on the altar and it shall never go out. The priests had the responsibility of keeping that fire going that the Lord sent. And that's the same responsibility that we have with our own hearts. God will send fire. He absolutely will, and he absolutely does. I guarantee you that every one of us can point to those times where something stirred in our heart, where something was alive in our spirit, and then it died. God did his part, and we need to learn how to do our part, which is maintaining the fire that God puts on our hearts. Having a consistent life of prayer is how we keep a consistently burning heart. And when God stirs, when he speaks words, when he touches our hearts, when he awakens something in us, he's looking for us to then faithfully carry those things that he stirred. And most of the time we get into the mode of wondering why God hasn't stirred anything in so long. And it's because he's looking at the way that we dropped the last thing we stirred, and he's wanting us to go back to it and pick it back up again. Lauren Cunningham says in his book on hearing the voice of God, one of the most practical things I've ever heard, which is if God isn't speaking, it's because you ignored him the last time he said something. Go back to the last thing you know that he said and pick it up, carry it in prayer and obey it, and you'll start hearing the voice of the Lord again. But God is waiting for his people to learn how to steward the fire that he puts on our hearts. Jesus, just after the parable of the sower in Luke's version, says, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. When God gives you a word and you hang on to it, you'll get more words. When God gives you a word and it drops, you'll get silence. And so that persistency and faithfulness in carrying the things that God is speaking to our hearts is what God is looking for. And what happens without a life of prayer is we are constantly in the mode of trying to relight the flame that once burned in our hearts. Oh Lord, please light the fire that once burned bright and clear. We're constantly in that mode. Rather than our hearts having a consistent burning, it's this up and down of my heart was stirred, but I've lost it and I don't know where it went. Lord, come stir my heart again. And it takes so much more energy to light a fire than it does to keep one going. I just had this picture the other night of the whole church sitting around rubbing sticks together. Because we've been doing that for forever because we're trying to start fires. And the problem is not that we can't start a fire. It's that every time it starts, we just sit there and look at it and burns out. And then we have to start all over again. And the whole church is in that mode right now. And it's no wonder that pastors are frustrated, the people are frustrated, and we're all burning out. Because we're constantly in this high-energy mode of trying to stir ourselves up to something when God says, take the stirrings I put in you and carry them. And then I'll give you a little bigger one and carry it. And I'll give you a little bigger one and carry it. But you shouldn't have to constantly every Sunday morning be trying to stir yourself up to have a living heart. It should already be alive. And it's why pastors feel the need to get into this constant super energetic mode where we're trying to impart fire to people is because the church hasn't learned how to carry fire. Teach a people how to pray And suddenly you don't have to give them fire every Sunday morning. Their hearts are already on fire. You just have to direct it. Teach a people how to pray, and you don't have to preach the message 27 times, getting louder each time. Because we're not getting a spark, but then letting it die out. And so in a very practical sense, regular prayer times are so critical. Get a regular life of prayer, even if it's 5 minutes during your break, if it's 5 minutes during your commute. It is far more productive to be spending 10 minutes a day in prayer than it is to try and do 1 hour of prayer once a week after you've gone prayerless the whole week leading up to it. It will be miserable because your heart will be cold by that point. So make it regular. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. The role that prayer has to play in our lives is that constant carrying of the things that the Lord has spoken to us. To where the fire that He's put on the altar, the things that He's stirred and He sparked in us, we're carrying them and keeping them. So find regular times for prayer. And the great thing about prayer is it's easily multitaskable. Anything that you're doing with your hands, you can still be praying. When you're cooking, when you're eating, when you're commuting, whatever, you could be praying. So find those slots, and the more often, the better. I mean, if you have slots every couple of hours during your break time, during your lunch time, whatever, where you're praying, that's what's going to give your heart the most life, is keep it constantly alive and burning in your heart. Make it the first thing you do, and make it the last thing you do every day, even if that's just 5 minutes. And it will keep that fire alive in the heart. So prayer is about seeing and responding. And what we're really talking about here is just, what do we pray? Where do we get ideas for how to fill our times in prayer? It's about responding towards God with what we're seeing, with what we've encountered in life and what we've encountered in the Word. It's both about supplication, which is praying for ourselves, and intercession, which is praying for others. It's about long-term things, words that the Lord spoke to you years ago that you're still pursuing the fullness of. It's about those current things that the Lord is emphasizing, and it's about constant, spontaneous prayer reacting to things that are right in front of your face by taking them to the Lord. So I actually have two prayer lists because I got tired of rewriting all the long-term ones on my short-term list every time I threw it out and started over. Because your prayer list will be constantly changing as the Lord is speaking new things and as new things are coming up, new needs in your life or new needs that you know about in other people's lives. So I have one that doesn't change, and I have one that changes all the time. One that is the things that the Lord has spoken to me that I'm contending for over the course of a lifetime, or at least over the course of decades. And one of them is that list that I passed out in session 4 of the prayers for fullness, of reaching for a biblical vision of what fullness is, of what's available in God, and contending for those things constantly for my own heart and my own life. And so it's that list from session 4 of the 7 prayers that I just pray one every day, of longing for fullness in identity, longing for fullness in my revelation, my knowledge of God, longing for fullness and my knowledge of His love, longing for fullness as the New Testament describes it. It's the list that has on it all the prayers that are life prayers, that are the things the Lord has spoken to me about what I want out of life and who I want to be when I finish with life. It's that those prayers that carry my life vision and it carry the things the Lord has spoken in prophetic words. In 1 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, 1 Timothy 1:18, I don't think I have it on there. He says, fight the good fight according to the prophetic words spoken over you. And when God says, here is something that I want to give you and a place that I want to take you, whether that's a promise out of the Word or whether it's a promise that somebody gave to you when they were praying for you from the Lord, or wherever it came from, we're supposed to take them and wage warfare with them. That I know the Lord has set in my heart a desire to be a burning one. Isaiah 6 is one of those life passages for me that the Lord just said, that's yours, take it. And so it's on my long-term prayer list of I am continually before the Lord asking for a burning heart like the creatures who are in his presence, like those who draw near to him again and again and who see him high and lifted up. It's a constant for me. There are other passages that the Lord has spoken to me about my calling and my assignment, my ministry. And I carry those passages continually before the Lord. And I carry always before the Lord just some of those heart things that the Lord has spoken to me. I want to be a Mary. I want to be a Paul. I want to be a John the Baptist. The examples, the passages, the thoughts out of Scripture that the Lord speaks and says, this is yours if you want it. Take those things and get them on a prayer list so that they don't drop out and you forget the things that the Lord told you he wanted to give you. Take those things that stir in your heart and you say, yes, I want this, and get them on a prayer list. And there's also on that list the things the Lord has asked me to carry for others that he's put on my heart, you know, the longing that he has given me to see the bride reach fullness and the bride made ready. John 17, 20 through 26, that I cannot escape from, that's on my lifelong prayer list. That God desires a people who are one with his heart. That is constantly on my prayer list. And it's that list that does not change and does not move. So then alongside of that, I have the sticky note list. The one that you write, and then you wad it up and throw it away, and you write a new one the next week. Because everything has changed, hopefully. The prayers that you expect to be answered in the very near future. And so it's those things that the Lord is highlighting to me right now. One of the best reasons for a life of prayer and the best things to do with a life of prayer is to take that word that the Lord is speaking now, that he spoke this morning, as you were looking at the word, he says, I want to give you this, or I want to change this in your heart, or I want to do this, or I want to do that. When the Lord starts dealing with an area in our heart that he wants to transform, it should immediately go onto a prayer list, to where we're keeping it before him in prayer. We should always, always be able to say at a moment's notice, here's what the Lord is speaking to me about. That's how you keep from getting into that place where you ignored the last word and so you're not hearing anymore. Is whenever you hear a word and the Lord says, I want to do this, I want to change this, or he shows you, here's my heart for the poor, or he shows you, here's how I love mercy, we're carrying those things before him. Right now for me, it's Romans 8 and the spirit of adoption. And I won't go into it or we'll be there all night. But there's, you know, the clear now passage of the Lord that he keeps emphasizing should be on our prayer list. The things that are coming up, life events, decisions, opportunities, our actual needs at this moment, go on that sticky note list. Because ideally they're answered by the time the week is done and you throw them out and you've got a whole new list of needs. And the things the Lord's highlighting as we're praying for others and for the church, for the nation or whatever, as we're praying some of those things in response to the news or things in response to what the Lord has put on our heart for others for a long time, the Lord begins to emphasize something, we get that written down, recorded, so that we're carrying it day to day. Right now with me in the nation, it's Matthew 6, 19 through 34. Do not store up for yourself treasures in the earth, but store up treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that is from about 50 days ago, but that's still current. And I didn't hear it and drop it. I've been carrying it for 50 days because it's from the Lord. And then the third part of what we're praying for is just that ongoing response to life and prayer. To get a habit of watching and praying. Jesus says it over and over again, and Paul says it in Ephesians 6. Be always watching, always praying. Our eyes would be open to see what's happening around us, and as we see it, the way we would respond is by taking it to the Lord. So there's all sorts of great things to watch. Watch your own heart and what it's doing. This is one that the Lord has been teaching me in the last couple months, and I love it because it gives such a new view to struggles and temptations and stumbles. Never let a stumble go to waste. And never let a temptation go to waste. When your heart reacts in a way that you know was wrong, don't just, oops, but carry that thing before the Lord. What just happened? Why did my heart react the way that it did? I just got offended because someone cut me off. That is so irrelevant and unimportant in the grand scheme of eternity. What is going on in my heart that caused me to react to that? Now, Lord, take that out of my heart. Fix it. Every time that we stumble or come close to stumbling, it's a chance to say, Lord, search my heart. Where did that come from? And let's fix it. So watch your own heart. Don't let those things slip by as a definitely not as an ignored and not a big deal, but not even as a oops and I'm sorry. Make them issues of prayer before the Lord. Whatever it was that caused that to happen, God, let's change it. Watch the people that you're interacting with and watch them with your spiritual eyes, not your flesh eyes. Ephesians 6 says we wrestle against principalities and powers, not against flesh and blood. If as you're interacting with people, you're watching them with the eyes of your spirit, what happens is we start praying for people to be set free from the things in their hearts that are off, that are causing them to react the way they do. When someone's being rude, when they're stepping all over your toes, when they're getting all up in your space, when they have legitimately and rightly offended you, instead of getting offended, we get to pray for them that they would be set free from the thing that caused them to do that. And so we watch people and we make them prayer requests. And this is how the Lord finally broke me of getting angry when I was getting cut off by people. Is I would start praying for the worst drivers on the road. God, that guy has some serious issues. You know, and it starts out of a place of arrogance and pride, but it gets to the place where you're actually legitimately wanting them to be set free from whatever it is that makes it worth risking their life to get to work 2 seconds earlier. Whatever is going on in their mind, Lord, deliver them. And it will actually change your heart towards people. Because the Lord is perfectly capable of taking that pride and arrogance and turning it around as you're praying to where you legitimately care about the person. So pray for grumpy coworkers. Pray for customers with an attitude problem. Pray for the people that cut you off on the road, because they're doing it not because they're evil. Well, it is because they're evil, but they're not permanently evil. The Lord desires to change them and set them free. That is changeable and it's fixable, and the Lord desires to see them free. We watch current events. Go to the news in prayer. And my personal opinion is never listen to the news or listen to news commentators. I will only read it because then I can just get the facts and take it to the Lord for His perspective. We are so full of the perspectives of fallen human beings. Most of the church can quote Fox News better than they can quote the Bible. That's no good. Fox News is no more right about the Lord's heart with regards to what's happening in the earth than CNN is. Neither one of them is remotely close. Let's not get our perspective from news analysis and commentators. Let's get our perspective from the Lord. So personally, I won't touch it unless it's in print or where I can just skim and get the facts and then take it to the Lord. Because I don't want to hear what men have to say about it. I want to hear what the Lord has to say about it. And I highly encourage reading the news. Get the facts. Be aware of what's going on in the world, but get God's perspective on it, not man's perspective on it. Because we need, more than anything, the Lord's heart and not the critical, analytical spirit that is so prevalent in the news. Watch for the needs around you. Jesus saw so much of the kingdom break out simply because his eyes were open. It says in Matthew 9:36 that he saw the multitudes and was moved with compassion. And you see that over and over again. Jesus sees, he's moved with compassion, and then power breaks out. Anointed teaching, healing, provision, the Lord sending out here in this passage, he sends out his disciples and they're anointed with power to heal, to deliver, to preach the gospel. He had his eyes open. And we need to get to where our eyes are open. And what keeps us from opening our eyes is we feel powerless. The reason why we ignore people is because we can't or don't want to do anything about their condition.
So faith.
Yeah. And God invites us. You can see it and feel it because I'm able to do something about it. You can open your eyes to the pain and the suffering that's around you because I'm able to fix it. And that's the invitation of prayer, that we would see it and respond to it in prayer, to where we start actually feeling again when we drive past the homeless person on the street, to where we start actually feeling again when we walk past a sick person, to where we start feeling again when we see need and when we see brokenness all around us. Because we've gotten used to tuning it out, and that's a major, major problem if we're going to ever be one in heart with the Lord. Jesus never tuned anybody out. Everyone that he walked by, he saw them, he felt for them, and he moved on their behalf. So we've got to get our eyes open. You see an emergency vehicle go by, well, that's an invitation to prayer. Anytime you hear sirens, it's an invitation to prayer. When you're walking in the store and you see people, it's an invitation to prayer. Because whoever they are, they've got needs. Whoever they are, they need the Lord. And the Lord wants to get our eyes open to where we're watching. So I'm going to skip this whole next point on our perspective in prayer just for the sake of time. But I highly encourage you to read through those things. I mean, I'll just talk about it a little generally, just of why these things matter. Jesus' disciples come to him and they say, Lord, teach us how to pray. And it's not because no one knew how to pray, as in how to open their mouths and say things to God. They've been doing that for thousands of years. Prayer, the act, is so simple. You open your mouth and you speak to the Lord. What they saw in Jesus is he has this totally different understanding and perspective of what prayer is all about that they had never seen before. It was a revelation way beyond what God had given anyone in the Old Testament. And his prayer life had power on it. And so when Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer and he begins teaching on prayer and its heart, he's teaching on the purpose of prayer and the perspective of prayer and where our hearts ought to be as we're engaging it. And these are things that will help you so much if they're before you as you're praying. And I will, a lot of the times, just start with one or two of these things, whichever ones I'm feeling the farthest from, as I'm praying. Start with the reality that God is our Father and we're praying from a place of adoption. As you begin a time in prayer, thank the Lord for that place that he's drawn us to. Thank him that we've been given access with confidence, that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, that we're not yelling to a distant God, but we're right there speaking with him. Thank him for his worth and keep that before you the whole time. That prayer is answered not because we're worthy, but because he's worthy. Prayer is answered not because you and I deserve to be glorified, but because Jesus deserves a glorified bride. And Jesus prays it himself in John 17, glorify your son, that your son would glorify you. That's the position that we get to come to the Lord in. God, change me so I can bring you glory. Give me my inheritance in you so that you can have your inheritance in me. Because your inheritance comes through me being transformed into the fullness of mine. When we come to prayer, we come out of a place of longing for fullness. Your kingdom come. Prayer is about prophetic vision for fullness, and that's why those apostolic prayers, those prayers for fullness, are so important to keeping our hearts in the right place. God longs to give us a prophetic vision for what could be, what should be, and what will be. And I'm totally stealing that phrase from the guy, Sean Fute, who leads Burn 24/7, but it's an awesome phrase. We live in the place of what is, when God wants us to live in the place of what could be, of what should be, and what will be. That's the spirit of prophecy. Where we look, and instead of beholding, here is how life is on the earth, we're beholding, here's what God is worth, here's what God has planned, and here's what God is determined to do. Your kingdom come in fullness. And that's what's going to drive out that whole critical spirit that's filling the church, because it's filling the nation. Where we're better at pointing out what's going wrong than we are about saying, here's what the Lord's doing, now let's step into it. We have an epidemic right now of what we like to call realism and what God calls unbelief. We say this is the way it is. God says this is not the way it has to be. And God wants to pull us out of our unbelief into a vision for his kingdom come, into a vision for fullness. And that's what the place of prayer is about. And that's, I highlight that one just because it's one that we slip out of a lot of the time, even as we're praying. We can get into a mode when we're praying where we're preaching and we're not actually praying, where we're talking about here's everything that's wrong in the world. We're not actually saying, Lord, here's what you desire to do. Do it. God moves at prophetic prayers. He moves at those that say, this is what you want to do. Now release it in the earth. Not at the ones that say, we don't like this and we don't like that. And we easily slip into the other. So keep focused on your kingdom come and on God's vision for what life on earth is meant to look like. Man, I'm going through these even though I said I wasn't going to. Bodumquite. Your will be done. It's God's desire, not ours, that we're praying for. Prayer is answered not because we want it, but because God already wanted it. He was just waiting for us to agree with him. He's waiting for us to get on board with what he wants to do. 1 Timothy 2, Paul says, first of all, let prayers be made for all men, because this is pleasing to God, our Savior, who desires for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants us to pray because he wants to move. It's the only reason why he calls us to pray, is because he already has things in his heart that he wants to do. It's about on earth as it is in heaven, that gap between what could be, should be, and will be, and what is. That's the place that we're standing in prayer. Between what God is willing to give and what man is actually willing to receive. And between what God is worthy to receive and what man is actually willing to give. And it's a big gap. It's that gap between heaven, where all eyes are upon the Lord and all persons are worshiping fully and holy, and earth, where God is mostly ignored, mostly despised, and mostly disagreed with. That's the gap that we're standing in prayer. And it's about grace, mercy, and guidance. And God gives us the ability. He gives us mercy when we're not there. We don't have to pray with frustration about where we are, but there's mercy to cover us as we grow. It's about God's guidance. That he knows what we're dealing with and he knows the way out. And it's about his power. It's about his ability to move. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are his forever. He will win. They will be answered. Okay. So just talking about some of the disciplines real quick. The disciplines of prayer are very, very closely knit to the disciplines in the Word, because prayer comes out of the Word. A life of prayer comes out of a life in the Word. A life of prayer is about responding to what we're seeing. So we have to see in order to pray. We've got to get revelation if we're going to pray. But that said, we don't want revelation without prayer either. If we're seeing but not responding, that's no good either. So really what these disciplines are is, how do we engage the Word in prayer, and how do we pray out of the Word? So this first one is kind of the simple everyday, as you're reading the Word, how do you do it to where it's not just going past without being responded to? Pray reading the Scriptures, that we're responding to what we read and not just taking in information as we read. And this is just constant. This mode should be engaged if you're in the Word, period. This is not really a prayer time discipline as much as a time in the Word discipline. If we're going to be in the Word, we should be responding. And we respond in worship, in obedience, and in prayer. So as we see a truth, we praise God for it, that he is this way, or that he loves this way, or that his wisdom and his law is this way. We praise God for commands because they're good and they're right. And so we worship him for them and agree with him. And we commit to responding to that truth, and we ask him what that looks like. we take that step of obedience of, God, I want this truth to be real in my life and to change the way I live. What does that look like? And then we go to him in prayer and we ask him for the grace to actually do that, to see it more clearly and to change our thoughts and our ways and our hearts to where we're agreeing with that. And that's just a real simple exercise. Keep that in your mind as you're engaging scripture, because it keeps it from just engaging on the mental level, that we saw and gave consent to the truth that God is love. You know, I mean, that's great that I now know that God is love, but that's not half the same as actually responding with a heart that says, God, I love you because you are love. The depths of who you are love, and I love you for that. You're worthy because of that. And I want to live in a way that says that I believe that God is love. I want my life to make sense in light of the truth that you are love. So Lord, give me a greater understanding of what it means and give me a grace to change my thoughts and the way I live to where it makes sense in light of the fact that you are love. And now we've actually engaged with that word and let it do something in us and change us. The second one is we pray using scripture. And that's the list you have there of the apostolic prayers. One of the best ways to know what to pray is to pray the things that God is praying for you. Pray the things that Jesus is praying right now at the right hand of God. And the way we know with confidence what those are is that God has inspired certain desires and longings of his heart to be recorded in scripture so that we know them forever. That God desires to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And he desires that we would have power to know the width, the length, the height, the depth of his love. Praying from scripture is our best guide to keep us in line with all of those heart posture things that we just flew through. That we're praying looking for a vision of fullness. We're praying with hope and with a spiritual answer, not with a critical answer of the flesh and what's going on there. But we're praying with a perspective that comes from heaven because it's God's perspective. He saw and he prayed that prayer in response to what man needs. So those are great places to start. And those are great verses to take and to meditate on just so they start to inform our vision of what fullness really is. And they start to inform our vision of what God desires. Okay. So the last one is the one that we're going to hit with a little more detail, which is just meditating on the word through prayer and through worship. And that's that meditation sheet that you have as a handout is kind of the guide to that. And once again, my disclaimer, I don't use sheets. Everything that I do is on loose leaf notebook paper, and then it goes into a folder. But that's the flow of what we're going to, so you'll just have it written there for you the first couple of times you want to do it. Paul says in Ephesians 5, don't be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Paul says we actually go on being filled with the Spirit by singing scripture, by taking the word and turning it into song, taking the word and turning it into hymns and psalms and spiritual songs and making melody in our heart to the Lord. There is just such a fruit and a benefit to actually taking the word and beginning to open our mouths and express it. In song or in prayer, if you really refuse the song, I encourage song. And the reason for that is God wired us to where music stirs our hearts. It's the same as what we were talking about last week with images. God wired us to where images stir our hearts. He wired us to where music stirs our hearts. And so one of the benefits of engaging the word in song is encounter, that we're actually meeting with the Spirit, talking with him. It is really, really easy to read to yourself and to think to yourself. when you actually open your mouth and you start praying or you start singing, you've either gone insane or you believe that there's someone who hears you and that you're in the midst of a conversation. And opening our mouths gets us into conversation mode with God as we're in the Word, not just thinking. We don't want to be by ourselves when we're reading the Word, ever. We want to be with the Lord in a conversation. It takes and it engages our emotions because God wired our hearts to respond to music and to respond to poetry, to respond to language, to really catching expression for those things that goes beyond the facts of them, but expresses the heart of them. I mean, just that wrestle for language. Even if you're stuck somewhere where you have to be quiet and you can't sing, if you're writing poetry, you're looking for language that catches the heart of what you've just read in Scripture. That search for language will catch up your heart and your emotions. It gets into us deeper because we have to go slower and we have to focus. Colossians 3 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." The word of Christ gets in us as we start singing it, meditating on it, searching for language for it. Because phrases stick so much better than concepts do. Phrases and language will stick in our hearts so much better than just a fact will. And we know that because we all live it. We have songs stuck in our head all the time. And the ideal is that those songs should be truths out of Scripture. When we begin to sing the word, to express it, and if you're praying, pray as though you're singing. I mean, if you don't have the boldness to open up your mouth and make melody, then rap. I mean, pray in rhythm, pray in meter, and pray expressively, and pray choruses. Search for a phrase that captures the heart of the verse and say it over and over and over again. But get phrases, because there are choruses that catch our hearts the way that truths never will. When you read Ephesians 1, "Lord, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God," it doesn't do half the thing for your heart that "open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, because I want to see." Catches our heart. And you'll remember it forever. Most of you probably don't remember Ephesians 1:17, but most of you probably do remember "open the eyes of my heart." So we get phrases that stick in our spirit, and those phrases become so powerful to us. I mean, the whole phrase and concept of a people connected with God's heart is so powerful to me now, way beyond what the understanding of God wants us to know what's in His heart does for me. There's a phrase that I wrestled with to get a hold of what the truth of that concept actually is and means. And so that phrase means so much more to me than what it actually says. Because behind that, those simple words, now there's a whole depth of revelation, of things that I've thought about, wrestled through, sung about, prayed about. And it's all caught up in a phrase that I can remember and keep before the Lord in prayer. So the word actually starts to inhabit our hearts rather than just running through our minds where it usually runs out the other end and gets lost. It gets stuck in our spirit. And it gives us expression. Our hearts are naturally designed to flow. And this is really the heart of the whole subject of a life of prayer, is that our hearts were designed to flow. When we see something, we're meant to respond to it. And when we don't, it takes away the power of what we've just seen. And we're trained by society to not respond to the things that we see. It's one of the most disastrous effects of an entertainment culture, is we're used to seeing people face all sorts of tragic things or all sorts of glorious things, to see noble and inspiring things and to be stirred for a moment. And then because it's not real, you step away the next day. And we get into that same mode with God. of our hearts are stirred about this noble and glorious story of a God who is coming to redeem his people. But then just like the movie that we watched last night, we wake up in the morning and it's gone because it wasn't real. Only problem is it was real. And when we actually respond to it is when it becomes real in our hearts. When we actually give expression to what's stirring in our hearts. When I can actually describe and sing to the Lord of, here's where you're poking me. Here's what I'm feeling. Here's what this word is doing to my spirit. And we start actually expressing those things to the Lord in prayer and in worship. So what this looks like is really simple. Read it, write it, sing it, say it, pray it. So pick a passage. And this one is more aimed at not stories, but at truths. At those deep things of the heart of God. And it's usually a short passage, most of the time just a single verse, talking about the big things. What is God like? How does he feel about us? And what does he want for us? Those big questions that we talked about on the conference. And so some of the ones I would highly recommend, you have several lists of them now from throughout the weeks. Session 4, that whole list of passages about our identity and the way God sees us, any and all of those are great passages to get into in this way. When I told you you're supposed to go deep in those passages, here's how. This is what that actually looks like. Session 5, at the end of it, talking about the Father, the Spirit, and the Son, of who they are and what they look like and how they operate, that list of passages. Those are great ones to meditate on. Or the apostolic prayers that you got today. Meditate on those prayers and what they actually mean as far as what the Lord is desiring to give us that are being asked for in those prayers. So we take it and we write it. And there's two reasons for that. One is so it's on your paper, because that's very helpful. Otherwise, you have to go look it up anytime you want to go back to look at your meditation. But the other reason is it makes you slow down and see the words. A lot of the times, our brains are capable of seeing a sentence rather than seeing words. You know, we see the whole truth of what was just expressed, but we don't catch the language in the actual words. And when we write it out one word at a time, we have to see the actual words. Because those are our starting place. Here's the language that it's actually in, that the Lord used. What does that mean? And so then we just start to sing it. Or if you don't like sing it, I'll allow you to pray it or to write it if you have to. But start expressing somehow. And the value of singing and what you want to duplicate as you're writing or as you're praying, if you're not singing, is the search for language, the search for expression, that you are saying it over and over again in different ways, looking for the way that catches your heart, getting into what does it actually mean, and then finding your own language for it. Here's what's at the heart of what the author said, and here's what that means to me and how I would word that to where it catches my heart. So you can do this with CDs. You can do it with a web stream. I did it for years with a web stream before I finally decided I was just going to have to learn guitar. IHOP makes freely available the worship coming out of their prayer room. And it's 24/7. So you can go online and sing over the top of what they're doing. It's unnatural at first because our hearts are locked up. We're not used to the kind of constant language coming out of our hearts kind of thing that this is. But the more you do it, the more natural it becomes. Because as we're seeing, our heart wants to respond and it's just searching for language. Your heart wants to respond, it just doesn't know how. And the more we begin to catch language, the more we begin to let languages come out of us, the more our hearts just begin to flow. So we're taking the language of the verse, and we're taking the language of other scriptures, and we're taking the language just coming from our own hearts of here's what this means to me, and what it looks like, and we're singing out of it. We're searching for expression. And one of the reasons for that is to get us in conversation with the Lord. And so I highly encourage, as you're singing, sing prayers. Or as you're praying, pray prayers. That's a pretty easy one. Or as you're writing, write prayers. Describe what's happening in your heart. What you're thinking and what you're looking for. What is it that you're seeing? And what is it that you're not yet seeing? And just work through the passage phrase by phrase and thought by thought. And what we're listening for as we're singing is we're listening for that amen of the Spirit. I may have mentioned this already because it's one of my favorite thoughts, but the word that we hear best from the Spirit is we hear amen. God uses our own mouths to express the things that's in His heart, and then He confirms it by His Spirit. And when we start speaking truth, when we capture something about the heart of who God is, His Spirit confirms that thing in us. And you get that little quickening in your heart of, what I just sang was good. You know, that phrase, whatever it was, whether it was well-worded or not, it hit something in the Spirit because I just felt it. And when you feel that, stay on it. Because that's what we're looking for, is that when the Spirit comes and says, yes, you just found truth. You just found something in the heart of God. Now sit on that for a while. And that's when you just start singing the same thing over and over again, or praying the same thing over and over again. I'll use that technique when I'm praying for anything. When I'm praying for the nation, when I'm praying for the end of abortion, whatever it is, I'm searching for language until I catch the one that stirs with my spirit. I'm running through, you know, thoughts that I have based on who I know the Lord to be, of what the Lord might be wanting to do today in hearts, what the Lord might be wanting to do today with people. And when I catch something that stirs in my spirit, then I know I've found what the Lord wants me to pray. And then I pray that. And it's that listening that gets us to where we actually met with the Lord. And the power of it is the same thing we talked about last week, of God wants to be the one who speaks to you. And when out of your own mouth comes something profound, and I don't necessarily mean profound in the way that you worded it, but profound in what it did to your spirit, because the Spirit of the Lord rose up and said, yes, that's truth. When out of your own mouth comes those words, it's so different than when someone else speaks it to you. When someone else feeds you revelation versus when God spoke to you, put something in your heart, it came out of your lips, and God said, yes, that's exactly what I was saying. And you get to where you hear the voice of the Lord better. Because as you're searching for language and as you're searching for what it is that the Lord's saying through the Word, the Lord will come and tell you when you get it right. The Lord will come and tell you when you've hit those things that are truth. So we get through that, and then we just say it. After all that searching for language, all that searching for here's the heart of it, here's what makes it connect with me, now write it out in the language that connects with you, in the language that makes sense with you. And now you've got your own version of that scripture, of that passage. You've got the phrases that make it real in your heart, the phrases that make it true to you, that God is this or God desires that. And then we just pray it. What you've seen that it is, you've seen that truth is, ask the Lord to write it on your heart, to transform you into that image and give you grace to live accordingly. So, we're late again, so I'm going to stop and let you go. But, if anyone really wants to, you can run through this in about 10 or 15 minutes, and we'll do that after I give you a little while to slip out. So, I'll pray and close us out. Father, I just set before you, God, our hearts and your vision for them, that we would be one with you and knit with your heart. And God, I ask that in the weakness of a life of prayer, in the weakness of singing your word, in the weakness of carrying before you the words and the thoughts that you've given to us, God, that you would meet us there and transform our hearts into your image as you promised you would. God, we just stand with confidence in that reality, God, that there is available to us a new heart and a new spirit, and it's found in weakness. It's found in the place of opening our lips and speaking to the invisible God. So, Father, would you teach us a life of prayer? Would you teach us how to carry our hearts? Would you teach us how to steward those things that you have spoken to us? God, we say your words are life. Where else could we go? Who else has the words of life? God, your words are precious to us. The things that you speak and stir in our hearts, God, they are deeply important to us. So, Father, teach us how to carry them. God, and we just thank you and praise you for what you're desiring to do in our hearts and in your body. God, may you have that people zealous for good works, that people who are one with your heart, that people who have met and encountered the God who is love. Would you take us there, God, because you're worthy, because you are fully worthy and fully able, Jesus, to bring us into fullness of love, that we would be a bride who loves the way you love. So, Father, I just thank you, praise you for tonight, God, and I just ask again that you would be with each one here, God, as they seek you in prayer and in the Word in the weeks and years and decades to come. Father, would you come meet with us and transform our hearts and awaken us in love? And we just thank you and praise you for that promise. In Jesus' name.